Okay, good morning. Let's begin. More people will come in. What I wanted to do today, which we decided at the end of last week that we're going to discuss today, is the halachos of memachek and memareach, which means smoothing and smearing things. And I also would like to do today the halachos of medida, measuring things on Shabbos. So I'd like to try and accomplish both of these today. So, like I keep on saying every week, we're going to keep out a lot of the intricacies, all the details of the malacha and the background behind it, but just for this malacha of memachek and memareach, we need to just categorize just a little bit what each one falls under. For the halachos of smoothing and scraping and smearing, there's going to be four different categories. The first two categories are going to be asur mid da'iraisa, forbidden on a da'iraisa level, on a Torah level, the first two categories. The third category will be forbidden on a derabanan level. And the fourth category is going to be totally permitted. Okay, again, so the first two categories are going to be forbidden mid da'iraisa, the third one's going to be derabanan, and the fourth one's going to be totally mutter. The first category is what we call memachik. Memachik means scraping a rough surface, and that is the av, that is the one of the 39 avos malachos, and that means if you're scraping a rough surface in order to smooth it out, to give it a smooth finish. Some of the top of the layer of the hard item will be scraped away, and that's going to improve it by scraping off the top layer. This is only by a rough surface. This is what was done in the Mishkan, for example, like by leather or wool or something like that, the hides of animals, those are going to be asur, that's called memachik, that's the av. A stone wall or wood, if you go over to your furniture on Shabbos and you scrape it, I don't think anyone would go ahead and do that, but that is the av, that is memachik, that is also on a deiraisa level to give something a smooth finish on to scrape off the top layer. When you have leather shoes, and the bottom of your shoes, let's say, are also made of leather. So if you have dirt on the bottom of the shoe, let's say by mistake you step in dirt and you want to scrape it off. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to scrape it hard against metal, because the metal will scrape off the outer layer of the leather shoe, and that'll give it like a smooth finishing touch, even though you bought your shoe already and it's basically finishing touch, it's ready finished, but you're smoothing it out, and that is forbidden on Shabbos. If by mistake you do step in something dirty, you step in mud, and you want to scrape it off on Shabbos, so what you can do is the following. Instead of scraping it off on metal, what you can do is, Paiskim say you could scrape it off gently, you could scrape it off gently on metal, because that's not for sure going to smoothen it out, and even if it does, then it wasn't your intention. So you could scrape it on metal softly, or you could do it on stone or wood by the pavement. You could scrape it off on the pavement, something like that, to get off any dirt that sticks to your shoe. Last week we were discussing the halachas of tochein, and we discussed that anyways, if the mud gets hard, then there could be issues of tochein when you're scraping off the mud. So you have to be careful as far as that as well. But maybe just bang it off, and this way it doesn't crumble. Maybe take off the shoe and bang it on something, so this way it would come off like that. But if the mud is dry, then you have to be careful as far as tochein. If the mud is not dry, you just stepped in it a second ago, so then you know there would not be a problem of tochein probably, and you could scrape it off on the pavement or gently on metal. These are halachas that you know you need to know in advance. And when you step in the mud, then you can't go start asking shaylas, am I allowed to scrape it off? Am I not? You're on the way to shul or wherever you're going. So that's if you step in mud, so that's the way to get rid of it. There's a discussion about using steel wool on our pots and pans. Take steel wool and you scrub the pans to clean it. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to do that. He says you're not allowed to scrape it on pans. And there's a great discussion. What about our pots and pans nowadays? Does what the Shulchan Aruch says about the pots and pans back then apply to the pots and pans now? Our pots and pans, quite possibly, if you scrape it with steel wool, it's not going to get any smoother. It's already a very hard surface that's smoothened out. It's not going to get any more of a finishing touch. There are those that say that it's just as much forbidden. There are those that say it's totally permitted. There are those that say if you do it gently, it's okay. Definitely, I would recommend not to go ahead and take steel wool and scrub your pots and pans on Shabbos.
Squeezing,
squeezing could be anyways. Yeah, if you make it wet, then it could be an issue with squeezing. Yeah, if it's like a sponge, yeah, it could be a problem. Definitely could be.
But it's dense. It's trapping water. It doesn't like the water doesn't just fall out.
I don't know. I've never used steel wool before, but I mean, you could if it would absorb into the steel wool and it would be squeezed out when you hold it. Then, you know, yes, you would have to keep in mind the issues of schita as well, if you're using it with water and soap. So that's all category number one. Category number one is memachek, that is the av, that is asa mederaisa, and those are all by rough surfaces. We gave examples of pots and pans, of wool, a leather, a shoe, and furniture and things like that. The second category is memareach, is memareach, and that is a tolda of memachek. Memareach is also forbidden. Some levels, a certain type of substances, which we'll discuss, is also forbidden on a deraisa level. And those are substances that are softer. It's a softer substance. And it's something that could be molded into a shape, but it is hard enough that it is still forbidden on a deraisa level. Meaning it's not as hard as leather and wool and pots and pans. It's softer than that. But it is something that could be molded into a shape. If you, let's say, you stick your finger in it, the hole would stay. It wouldn't just like fall together again. So that is forbidden also on a deiraisa level. So we need to give examples step by step what falls into each category. One example over here is wax. Wax is something that it's not as hard as like leather or something, but it is a hard enough surface that is considered forbidden on a deiraisa level. For example, let's say on Yontif, you know, we always do this on Hanukkah, or you can't melt the bottom of a candle, and then this way it'll melt a little bit, this way you'll be able to squeeze it in and fit it into like a candle holder or something like that. We all do it by Hanukkah, because our kids come home with those Hanukkah menorahs that the candles don't fit into those screws, so you have to melt it. So of course, during the week, it's not a problem. But on Shabbos, of course, no one would do this. But on Yontif, you can't do this either, because that will be considered memareach. It's not memachek, but it is memareach. That would be forbidden. Wax is considered a hard enough surface that will be smoothing out, smearing out, and that would not be allowed to do that on a deraisa level. Additionally, we're going to get to examples shortly. Additionally, there are things that are even more loose than something like wax, but that is forbidden on a derabana level. That's category number three. That's forbidden on a derabana level. Much less thick. The Gemara's example is thick oil, shemen av. A thick type of oil, not the oil, not the ordinary oil that we use, but a thicker type of oil, that would be forbidden to smear and to smoothen out on a derabanan level. And then there's going to be things that are totally liquidy that are going to be totally permitted. Things that are that are much, much more liquid that would be totally permitted to pour out and to smear on Shabbos. Things like ordinary oil and vitamin E oil and baby oil, those are totally permitted. Those are totally mutter because we say those are total liquid. So now let's go through the examples and see which all the different substances, where they fit into. Do they fit into memachek? Do they fit into memareach? Do they fit into memareach on a derabanan level? Or are they totally permitted? Some of the items we've discussed sparingly here and there in the past few shiurim, so I just wanted to put it all together in one. A bar of soap. Start with a bar of soap. I'm sure most of you here do not go ahead and use a bar of soap on Shabbos, but just to explain where it comes from, Mishnah Berurah brings that a bar of soap would be a problem of memachek, which is category number one, which is aser mida'iraisa. Now, memachek, we said, is by rough surfaces like leather and wool and pots and pans. And he says that a bar of soap would fit into that category. Now, many places can say that our soaps nowadays are not exactly like that, and there would not be an issue of memachek, but the paiskim do come out that a person should not use a bar of soap on Shabbos, because even if it doesn't fit into category number one, it would at least fit into category number two or three. It's definitely not liquidy, and even sometimes, if you know, if you leave the bar of soap in the dish with water, so some type of it'll formulate on top, so you're not allowed to smear that off, even if you say that that's not memachek, but for sure that would be either memareach on a deraisa level or memareach on a derabanan level. So nonetheless, therefore, the paiskim say that you should not use it. Or Meisher Feinstein says you shouldn't use a bar of soap. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa says also preferably, you know, you should not use a bar of soap.
Well, what's the difference though,
memachek
and
memareach? Memachek is something that's a hard substance.
Like, it's
smoothing out, smoothing, scraping. Yeah, that's why they're both forbidden on a deraisa level. Something that like wax, they're both forbidden on a deraisa level. There's something that's called the av, which means a father. That's the 39 avos malachos, and then many of the Avos Melachos, could be all of them, have what we call a tolda. A tolda means like literally a child, but it's still forbidden on a Daraisa level, meaning it just means, one explanation given is that it wasn't exactly like that in the Mishkan, but it's similar enough that it's still forbidden on a Daraisa level. I mean, it's all included. Just like, for example, the example we gave last week, we had tochin, grinding. So only grinding is the av, is the av malacha, but we said cutting up and chopping and dicing, all of those are also forbidden on a Daraisa level. But those are toldos. Those are a tolda. So cutting up and all those things, those are also forbidden Daraisa. But it's not the av, because that wasn't exactly like that in the Mishkan. But it's still going to be forbidden on a Daraisa level, because it's similar enough that it's still included. So that's what we say, like something like wax, that a harder substance, but not hard, mamish, like leather, so those will be forbidden on a Daraisa level. So the question is, where to put each one? We discussed Mailid. There could be other issues as far as a bar of soap. Anyway, as far as molid, that you're making a solid into a liquid, and perhaps the bubbles, perhaps there's ways out for that. But definitely issues of memareach would be by a bar of soap. Solid deodorant, right? You have the stick-ons. Those should not be used on Shabbos. Those, perhaps it's not memachik, but for sure lechayer that would be memareach, and that's a hard enough substance that you're smoothening something out, so that should not be used on Shabbos. Lipstick and chapstick. So we spoke about last week when we discussed soveya, that you shouldn't be using lipstick on Shabbos because of soveya issues. But another problem of lipstick on Shabbos is memareach. You're smoothening something out. It's a harder type of substance, like wax or something like that, and you're smoothing it out. Chapstick also. Someone who has chapped lips, we have to discuss if someone is really, really in a lot of pain. We'll get to that shortly. But chapstick also. You should not be using chapstick on your lips on Shabbos. Those are issues of memareach. Oh, so we're going to get to Vaseline with dabbing on. It's a good question. We're going to get to that shortly. Liquid soap. So I think that's what came up the past couple weeks. Sometimes we discussed liquid soap. We were discussing the halachos of washing dishes. We discussed liquid soap. So I wanted to ask Rabbi Sachs this morning how I should actually come out lahalacha, but I was not able to see him this morning. He was not in shul. So what the paiskim tell us, and I imagine this is what Rabbi Sachs would tell me. Also, there are plenty of paiskim that say you could go right ahead and use liquid soap. Rabbi Yashiv, Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, great people, others that say you could go right ahead and use liquid soap. Okay, so if you come to a situation where you want to wash dishes, dishes that are permitted to wash, and or you want to use some liquid soap after the bathroom, so definitely there are those that say you're allowed to use liquid soap on Shabbos. However, everyone brings Rav Moshe Feinstein, that Rav Moshe Feinstein says that he's not so positive that it's permitted. He's not so positive, meaning it's liquid. I think the expression we used last week that Rav Moshe says is shofech kamayim. He says the only thing that's going to be totally permitted is something that pours out like water. So does liquid soap pour out like water? Could be. Many paiskim say, yeah, fine. But Rav Moshe Feinstein is not so positive that it's permitted. So therefore, as I'm sure many of you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests, and a lot of the paiskim bring him, the nowadays paiskim, that what you should do is dilute the liquid soap with water. Preferably before Shabbos, you dilute it with water. I could tell you that it cleans just as well. It's not like you're going into surgery and you need to have such, you know, clean hands. It definitely cleans your hands. You dilute the soap. It's not a big deal. What my wife and I do is we have in the bathroom, we have like these these pretty jars that maybe match the wallpaper in the bathroom. So we fill it up with liquid soap every once in a while. So when my wife pours in the liquid soap, she pours also some water in. It's not hard to dilute. It's not like if you have one of these small ones that is full to the top, I say, how am I going to dilute it? It's already full to the top. Fine. But if you buy a big one and you pour it into something else, definitely it's easy to dilute it with water. If you already come to a situation where you did not dilute it before, so again, we said it's not a big deal. You can use it on Shabbos. There are those that say another etza, another advice that you could do is that pour the soap on your hands and then turn on the faucet. And then immediately the water will go on the soap and then start scrubbing your hands. So it's immediately together with the water. That's also way out. Maybe it's not as good as diluting it before Shabbos, but if you come to a house where you can't do that, or for whatever reason, okay, the soap on the water from the faucet, that for sure you could do, but those are ways out. Again, it's not clear cut, though. You're not allowed to use liquid soap, you have to dilute it before, but Rav Moshe Feinstein, who of course is a great man, and we rely on him a lot, he says preferably you should dilute it before Shabbos. Wax on braces, and if your children have braces, you shouldn't be using the wax, you know, it shouldn't hit against the gums, shouldn't irritate the gums. You shouldn't be smearing those wax on Shabbos. You could smear it before Shabbos, but you shouldn't be smearing that on Shabbos. To just place it on any of these things that are forbidden on a Darabona level or a Daraisa level, you're not allowed to even just place on. That the Mishnah Berurah says explicitly, because we're afraid, the Mishnah Berurah says in two places that anything that you're not allowed to smear, you're not allowed to just place on either. Because we assume, we're afraid that you're going to come to smear it as well.
Oh, so you can't.
So you can't. You can't just place it on. Anytime the Mishnah Berurah says, he says it in two places, in Shin Yadalin and Reish Nun Beis, for those listening. Even the ones on the Rabbanon level, those that you're not allowed to smear on, you're also not allowed to just dab. You're not allowed to place it because you may come to smear it. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And I did not see anybody that argues on that. So that is not allowed. If someone is in a lot of pain, we'll get to that shortly. We'll get to that shortly by ointments and Vaselines and things like that. But as a rule, anything that's forbidden on the Rabbanon level, you're not allowed to just place on either. Play-Doh, silly putty, clay, those can't be used because those are memareach. You're forming something, you're smearing it out. Those should not be used. Therefore, it would be muksa as well. Shoe polish. Right, so solid shoe polish is also a problem of memareach. Besides, we discussed last week the halachas of tzoveya, of coloring something. Tzoveya is a problem even by liquid shoe polish. But for sure, by solid shoe polish that you dip in the brush and you smear it on the shoes, so after you step in the dirt, as we discussed, and then you come home, you want to polish your shoes, so that should not be done on Shabbos, even with a liquid shoe polish, because that's a problem of tzoveya. But for sure, with a solid shoe polish, that runs into problems of memareach as well. Let's skip the toothpaste for a second. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you should not be using toothpaste on Shabbos. He actually says it's memachek, which is the first category. I don't think he really means memachek. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn, when he quotes Rav Moshe as saying memareach, which is category number two. He sounds like it's category number two, not category number three. It sounds like it's forbidden on a Daraisa level. Whether it's Daraisa or Darabonon, definitely you should not be using toothpaste on Shabbos, because Rav Moshe tells us you shouldn't use it. A toothbrush by itself, without toothpaste, without any water, you know, that would be okay if you don't use any toothpaste or any water, as long as your gums are not going to bleed. And as far as in the water in the toothbrush, also, I don't think, you know, it could be that would be a problem of schita. I don't think you should be able to use that either.
Wait, why wouldn't water in your toothbrush be okay though? What did you say?
Because it could be squeezing, because it's chita problems. Not as far as memareach, but as far as chita problems, quite possibly that the bristles are close enough together, right? We all know that there's a Shabbos toothbrush, that the bristles are very far apart from each other. I don't know if it accomplishes anything, but it makes the parents feel good that the kids at least are brushing teeth. And they have the Shabbos toothpaste, which is liquidy. And again, I can't vouch that it accomplishes anything, but that could be quite possibly that it does. Okay, good. It does. Fine. It does. Then great.
But fine. Just the bristles
are good? Okay, fantastic. Oh, you're a dentist. Okay, good. Fine, good. So there you have it. But the toothpaste itself, that Rav Moshe says you shouldn't use. Creams and ointments. So skin cream, facial cream, suntan lotion cream, and moisturizer, the Paiskim say, those are also not allowed. Those would be forbidden probably only on a Durabunan level. I would not think those are forbidden Dereis. I would think those are only forbidden on a Durabunan level, category number three, because those are pretty liquidy, but it's not like water. It's not very liquidy. Those are smoothing out. Those are smearing out. Those should not be allowed. If you have some type of cream that's a totally liquidy, so then that would be permitted. But any of those facial creams and moisturizers, those should not be used on Shabbos because of Memareach. As far as creams and ointments, which you touched upon before, creams and ointments for a sick person. So now we're not discussing now the halachas of refuah on Shabbos, perhaps at some later date, maybe. But for a sick person, what is allowed to be done for a sick person on Shabbos? So what's considered when we have someone that's officially, halachically sick, a chola, so that means that one of two things, basically, that they, because of their sickness that they have, they need to stay in bed. Or they would like to stay in bed, even if they can't because they have to take care of their family. But if something that would make them go to bed because of their sickness, then that makes them a chola, so it makes them official halachically sick. Or if it's something, a pain that takes over their entire body, chosh kol gufoy, that even if it's just a pain, let's say by a toothache or something small, but because it's such immense pain that it takes over their entire body, so then that also considers, that makes them halachically a chayla. Again, we're not getting into all the intricacies of refuah, of a chayla on Shabbos, but those are basically two categories that make somebody a chola, somebody that would love to go to bed because of their pain, or somebody that has a pain that takes over their entire body. Even if it's just that they cut their finger, but if it's a very deep cut or a very, very bad toothache, so then that just takes over their whole body, so then that makes somebody a chola. So if somebody has a sickness or an infection that would take over their whole body, and that would officially make them a chola. So as far as creams and ointments on Shabbos, so the halacha is the following. For a chola, you are allowed to do something that is forbidden derabanan with a shinui. Again, you're allowed to do something only if it's a derabanan level, and you do it with a shinui. So something like creams and ointments and Vaseline and desitin and things like that. So Vaseline, it seems that those will be, that's, it seems from Rabbi Ribiat that that's a derabanan, not a deraisa. So something that's a, someone who is, let's say, in a lot of pain somewhere, and that takes over the whole body, so to be allowed to do those creams and ointments that are forbidden on a derabanan level with a shinui. What is a shinui? What is, shinui means a change. You do it different than the ordinary manner. So the ordinary manner you do it during the week, is you would simply take some of those creams and ointments and smear it on. So that you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. What you're supposed to do is, you just squeeze it, put the tube, what the Paiskim say, squeeze it, take the tube a few inches away from the wound, and you just drip it on, you squeeze it out, and you just drip it on, and then let's say you put a bandage on top, and then it smears by itself. It smears automatically. So you didn't actively go ahead and smear it. And this way it was done with a shinui, because that's not the way you normally do it during the week. And if it's something that's only forbidden on a derabanan level, we permit that through, for a chayla, only for a chayla, we permit that. The other things you could do for a chayla, you could do something that's forbidden on a deraisa level through a guy. Fine, again, we're not getting into the halachas of refuah now, but as far as creams and ointments, if somebody has something that officially, halachically, makes them a chola, you could do something with, that's asar midrabanan with a shinui. Hold on 1 second. Something that does not make person a chola, they have chapped lips. And yeah, it's painful, even if it's very painful, but it doesn't make them a chola, it doesn't make them sick, it doesn't take over the whole body. And yeah, they have chapped lips, and definitely we know chapped lips can be very painful, and let's say their hands are chapped, and yeah, it hurts, but that's just considered what it's called, what we call a mechush ba'alma. It doesn't make them officially a chola. So but there, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do something that's forbidden on a derabanan level, even with a shinui, for something that's just a mechush ba'alma. If in really, really you're in a lot of pain, perhaps a shayla could be asked, and perhaps there are some paiskim to rely on to do such things. But generally speaking, when you have chapped lips or chapped hands, I don't think it makes somebody a chola and something like that. So Vaseline and chapstick and things like that should not be put on, and like we said before, even dabbed on. Preferably, the Mishnah Berurah says that should not be done. So the halacha is with children, a children is always considered a chola. A child is always considered a chola. Now, what is a child? There's different opinions. How old is a child? Some say 3 years old, some say 9 years old, some say under bar mitzvah. I heard once from Rav Sobolovsky in one of the reshivas, one of the Magadishim in YU, that it depends on the child. Is it a strong type of child? Is it a weak type of child? Is it a child who takes pain easily or not? Again, we're not learning the halachas of a chola, but a child, let's say something, you want to say like a 5 or 6 year old could be considered a child, quite possibly that's considered a child. So the halacha is that a child is always considered a chola. He's always considered a chola. He's always considered, even if it's just a mechush ba'alma for him, but for him it's considered that he's officially a chola. So what could be done for a chola? Again, it's not a free-for-all for a child. It's not a free-for-all for chola. Something that's forbidden on a derabanan level could be done with a shinui. Okay? So could be done.
Like a baby
diaper rash. If you want to take desitin or something like that for a diaper rash, so even though that's just a localized ailment, but for a child that's considered a chola, so you're allowed to do, since desitin, according to, seems like Rabbi Rubiat says that's only forbidden on a derabanan level, so you're allowed to do it. I would have thought desitin and Vaseline would be deraisa level. He made it sound that it was a derabanan level. I could ask around and see what other priests can say about it, but assuming that it's only forbidden on a derabanan level, you're allowed to be put desitin or a balmac, something like that, with a shinui on a baby. What the paiskim always say is you put it away on the diaper, and then the diaper will automatically get on the spot that you want to get it on. Or, like we said before, like the same as an adult, don't smear it on directly, but just squeeze it on a few inches away from the area that you want to put the desitin on, and something like that. That would for sure be permitted, because he's considered a chola, he's considered a chola since he's a child, and it's something that's derabanan for a chola. Perhaps if you have a cleaning lady and it's a guy, so if you want to tell the guy to put a desitin on, so then even if the desitin will be considered forbidden on a deraisa level, so for a chola and a child is a chola, you're allowed to do something forbidden deraisa through a guy. Okay, those are the two things basically allowed to do for chola, a derabanan aide through a shinui, by a yid, or a through a guy, something that's forbidden on a daraisa level. If you want to have a guy do it, for sure that's the best thing. Even if it's a derabanan, it would be nice to have a guy do it instead of through a Jew, through a shinui. That's, it's better to do it through a guy than a Jew with a shinui. But for sure, if it's a daraisa level, it'll be best to do it with the guy after she finishes washing the dishes, she could put on the diaper rash. Yeah. Right, good question. So the Paiskim tell us, and I was actually just talking about it with my Rosh Kollel recently, that something like that you're allowed to clean off. You're allowed to rinse it under the water, especially like we said before with the liquid soap, that some Paiskim say if the water's coming down immediately on it, so you're not going to smear it off. That's not called considered smearing.
Like push your hand onto the paper, like what I
usually
do.
I mean, right, you're doing the week. It could be that would be a problem. It could be not, because that's not considered like derech of shmearing. That's called derech nikui. That's called derech cleaning. Similar, you know, we have other ways that the Pais can tell us chazanish by halachas of muksa by shells. That's considered nikui. That's not considered a way of shmearing. That's just a way of cleaning my finger. And yes, it happens to be that it ends up getting shmeared. But basically, what I'm here for is just in this act is just to clean my finger. So quite possibly, that's not a problem. Perhaps it would be better to just do it under the sink, and then it goes li'ibud, it goes right away into the garbage down the drain. But I would imagine there would be work to rely on, you know, to smear it on the diaper as well. By foods, let's move on. By foods, we say a rule, and this we discussed, I think when we were discussing the whipped cream, that there's a rule, ein memareach be'ochlam. There is no smearing by foods. So now generally we say that when you're taking a food, so when you're smearing it, so since it's not done to smear and to make it, to improve it in any which way, to make it look pretty or anything like that, so we say that's not considered smearing for the improvement of the item, of the manner. So therefore, we say that that's totally permitted. However, the Ramah tells us, and this is what we were discussing, the Ramah tells us that if you're smearing food for a decorative purpose, because aesthetic purposes, so then hamachmer tovelov bracha. Someone who is stringent should be blessed. Meaning, it's not totally forbidden, but if you're smearing a food item to make it look nice, it's not totally forbidden, but it's what we call hamachmer tovelov bracha. Someone who wants to be stringent should be blessed. Now, I don't know anyone who would not want to be blessed, especially by, you know, the Ramon, by the earlier Paiskim, so definitely it would be good, and that's what we're discussing as far as whipped cream, besides the molded issues that you're making a liquid into a solid. But if you're smearing out whipped cream to make it look pretty, so then that would be a problem of smearing, a problem but only not totally forbidden, but what we call hamachmer tovel of bracha, where it will be good to be stringent. But any other foods that are not to make look pretty, so then that's totally a problem. You don't have to be worried that I'm smearing it on Shabbos. So therefore, you're allowed to spread the peanut butter and dips and cream cheese and egg salad and tuna salad and mashed potatoes and jelly and butter and banana and avocado, chocolate butter, honey and chopped liver on your bread, matzah, challah, and cracker.
I guess
you repeat that, anyone?
With the chopped liver, I guess the thing is, when you dump it out of the container, can you like...
So can you start smearing it? So now why are you smearing it? If you're smearing it just because you're not going to serve it on the table just as a one glob, but you're not doing it to make it look pretty or something like that, perhaps a caterer, you know, would be a different issue. But you're just smearing it out just so it could sit on the plate. I don't know. So a scooper, you know, so a scooper, it could be other issues, but you're not really...
Okay.
I'm sorry?
You said a scoop was okay, because it's just a round circle, it's not a
square. Right, okay, so there are plenty of places, and that's how we came out, because as far as tzartzura, as far as writing, so then scooper is not a problem. But now we're discussing as far as memareach. So that's also, I would imagine, that's not a problem, because you're not doing it to make it look pretty. There are some paiskim that say that the scooper would not be allowed, but I didn't come out, I didn't tell you that, because most paiskim say that would be permitted.
But you are using the scooper to make it look more presentable. You want it to look fancy.
So as far as, but you're not smearing it out. As far as smearing it out, I don't think you're smearing it out. You're just taking a scoop, and you're placing it, you're dumping it on the plate. So as far as memareach, that would not be an issue. As far as tzartzura, as far as making a picture, so I also came out, I told you that would be okay, even though there are one or two places that say perhaps that would not be allowed because I'm doing it like a perfect scoop and that's the way I want it, like a melon scooper. I did not tell you that was forbidden. I didn't even bring it up back then, because most places can say that, you know, I think that that's not a problem. I wouldn't. If you want to be strict, you know, you could ask your Rav if there is what to be strict about as far as that. But as far as memereach, so things like that, that's not a problem. We were discussing ketchup and mustard. Hold on one second. I did not see anybody say anything about ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise. None of the svarim brought anything about that I saw, at least. So that would make it sound like, for sure, if you're just smearing it on something, so for sure it's not a problem. But even if you're doing it to make it look pretty, if you have some type of mayonnaise, okay, mayonnaise to me looks pretty gross. But if you have like ketchup on a hot dog, I don't know, people will serve hot dogs and buns on Shabbos. But you know, let's say you come and you want to make the, you know, like in all the advertisements, you know, and the it's a perfect, the mustard and the ketchup. I didn't see anyone say that will be included in it. Again, Rav Moshe Feinstein says shofech kamayim. Ketchup is not shofech kamayim. I'm not sure. I'd have to do more research as far as ketchup, if there's an inyan to be machmer tovel of bracha when you're doing it for decorative purposes. But again, if you're not doing it for decorative purposes, anyways, it's okay. Icing on cake, I'm taking your question in one moment. Icing on cake, which is why we discussed it last week. If you're smearing out the icing on cake, so if you're doing it to make it look pretty, so then that is again hamachmer tovel of bracha. It's better not to when you're smearing the icing on the cake. But if you're just smearing it just to not look pretty because you're just getting it around, so then again that would not be a problem. So, by icing on cake? Icing on cake, a lot of times you're doing it to make pretty. Yeah, so then hamachmer tovel of bracha.
No, he's saying if you don't care.
If you don't care how you're doing it,
for brownies,
let's say you take a piece. Let's say you cut a piece of cake for yourself on the plate. Abby, you didn't get any icing on this piece of cake. That's not fair. I want some icing. So I just take some icing and I smear it on my cake. Just so this way, when I take a bite, every single bite of my bite will have a little bit of icing in it. So I don't care how it looks. So that's okay. So it's a whole cake and you're smearing it. I would imagine most cases that's it. Yeah.
Just like
you have to know.
So you're smearing.
Okay. So
icing on the brownies.
Each person would have to know for themselves. You're doing it because you want to make it look nice. Then fine. I'm
Achmatov. Yeah. Just gonna say with the whipped cream, like similarly, if you were spreading it on like a pie or something, or if you were making a trifle where like it's layered, so it has to be spread in order to be flat.
Yeah.
But it's not just simply that I want
it to look nice. Everything I serve, I want to look nice. But why am I smearing it out? Why am I smearing it out? I'm smearing it out in order for it to look nice.
It's just in order to put the next layer on. You know, you wouldn't just put blobs all over.
Okay, so then you just wanted to. So this way you could stack it up higher. You spread it all out so you could stack it up higher. I don't think that will be a problem of Hamachman Tavla Bracha, because you want it to get all around. But you're not smearing because necessarily to look nice, even though, yes, of course you do want it to look nice, but you're just spreading it all around so this way it gets everywhere. I don't think, you know, that would be a problem. Last question, then we have to move on.
Same as whipped cream? What did you say?
Whipped cream would be the same thing. If you're just dumping whipped cream on your hot chocolate, so then that's not a problem. But if you're smearing it all around on a cake for bar mitzvah or something like that, so then, you know, if you're doing it for the decorative purposes, so then hamachmer tovel habracha. Sometimes, yeah, it's hard to know. I can't tell you every single situation that you're going to come across. Am I doing it, you know, for decorative purposes or not? The person needs to be careful. And keep in mind, even if you are doing it for decorative purposes, it's not like it's totally forbidden. It's hamachmer tovel habracha. Squeezing food out of a tube is usually not a problem, right? They have, in Switzerland, they have these mayonnaises that they squeeze out of a tube. That's usually not a problem. You're usually not doing it for decorative purposes.
So would that be the same with whipped cream? You could squeeze it not out of a tube, let's say.
Not a pressurized can, because that'd be a mold.
But you put the whipped cream, let's say, in one of those bands.
Pipe it.
But it doesn't have any form. It's just round.
Could be. If you're not doing it to make it look pretty. Yeah, if you're not doing it to make...
You just go like this.
It could be that would be a problem. Yeah, if you're squeezing it out of the tube. I know, if you're squeezing
it
out of the tube and then you're coming it out to make it look pretty and then a special swirl, you know, it could be that, you know, that would be a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Just back to the liver, because like she said, that was the only thing that got to me, was when you turn it upside down and you cover it out of the bowl in a mold.
Yeah.
And then it's obviously the presentation. It's not going to mean that you're making it gorgeous, but you're saying you have to smooth it down because...
You do have to smooth it down?
You don't want that look of like...
You're saying, the plastic thing, you dump it on.
When it comes out like that, I'm saying, can you take a spool and like press it down?
My guess would be yeah. I don't think you're smoothing it in order for decorative purposes. It's because you don't want that mold for main ingredient to be on your table. I don't think that. That's my opinion. Asking me, I could ask around and see what other Pesachim say. I'm not a Pesach, but
meaning you technically could smooth it out. But I usually do it that way. I usually just take it out.
Matt, I think that's what most people do. I don't think that would be a problem. I don't think that would be a problem. Okay, that's as far as memareach. We have 7 minutes. for the halachas of medida, of measuring. Right? I kept on promising we're going to get to measuring on Shabbos. It should not take a lot of time. The halacha is that you're not allowed to measure something on Shabbos. Now, this is forbidden on a derabanan level. It's really not. It's not at all one of the lama tests malachos, but measuring on Shabbos is forbidden on a derabanan level, and the reason is because that's what we call uvdin dechol, a weekday activity. A weekday activity. Measuring something is considered a weekday activity. Now, how do we categorize exactly a weekday activity? It's hard to say exactly because all the Paiskim from hundreds of years ago, they themselves are not 100% sure how to categorize exactly this Uvdin Dechol. There are many different halachos that the Paiskim tell us are Uvdin Dechol, and it's hard to fit them all into one mold, that they all fit into one thing. Basically, it's something that the Paiskim tell us is something that normal to do on weekday, and it's like a vachadika thing. So then, you know, we say that should not be done on a derabanan level because of uvdin dechol, and measuring is considered something that's uvdin dechol. Some say that it's a problem of similar, it looks like business, like you're measuring for mekach u'memkar, that's what the Rambam says, but the Mishnah Berurah brings the reason of other Rishayim that it's a problem of uvdin dechol. And this is not just for business purposes, it's even for personal purposes, including the preparation of food. You're not allowed to measure, we're going to see exceptions in a moment, but you're not allowed to measure things on Shabbos. And we say, because this detracts from the sanctity of the Shabbos, you're going to measuring, it's like a weekday act to go measure things. You're also not allowed to measure time. You're not allowed to measure time. So those sand timers like you have by games, the place can tell us you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. Right, you turn it upside down and then it goes through the glass, and then I'm sorry, and then mamela there'd be muksa as well, therefore there'd be muksa, it'd be klisha malachta le'isr. Yeah, so you turn it upside down, that you're measuring time. You're allowed to look at a clock, you're allowed to look at a watch, you're not measuring anything, you're just looking at the time, and you're allowed to count the seconds because you're not measuring anything. But here this is like a measure. Some place can tell us that should not be done on Shabbos. This that you're not allowed to measure is not only with a measuring cup or some type of specialized instrument for measure. Even with a tablespoon and a teaspoon and a bottle cap, you're not. If you're measuring to the exact, if the recipe calls for 2 tablespoons of whatever, you guys know better than me. So then that should, you're not allowed to use the tablespoon or a teaspoon or a cap to go the exact measure on Shabbos.
So we call a tablespoon in your silverware, it's not really a true tablespoon.
Okay.
So can you use like a silverware tablespoon?
So that could that's be if it will be included in the, again, it doesn't have to be a measuring spoon. Even if a certain recipe or where you personally know that I need to use 2 tablespoons, it doesn't have to be that it's on the card or in the book.
But I'm saying it's not a true 2 tablespoons. So you just need.
But again, it doesn't make a difference. It's nothing to do with a tablespoon. It is not an instrument anyway. If you know that you need your personal tablespoons, you know from your recipes that you always make, you need that exact tablespoon or 2 or 3 exactly that. So then you are measuring exactly that your personal tablespoon, and that is not allowed to be done in Shabbos. Even if this is not your official tablespoon, it doesn't make a difference because that is your tablespoon that you know this recipe needs, and that is measuring, that you're considering, that's measuring on Shabbos. Hold on 1 second, let me just finish because it's 3 minutes. The exception to this is, how do you measure things on Shabbos? You want to make a recipe, you know, you don't want to just dump in and maybe put in too much or too little. So the exceptions are that what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to deliberately add a little bit or subtract a little bit. Okay? So again, it doesn't have to be, it's not only forbidden for a special measuring cup. But if you just don't take the tablespoon, your personal tablespoon or teaspoon, exactly, you just scoop it into the whatever you need, the sugar or whatever, the salt, whatever it is, and you just take basically a tablespoon, or basically a teaspoon, or basically a bottle cap full, so then that is permitted. Because we say that is not considered, that doesn't take away from the sanctity of Shabbos, because I'm not measuring exactly, even again, nothing to do with the measuring lines. Even if it's just, you just deliberately do a little bit more, a little bit less, you just take a scoop, that is not a problem. That is not a problem on Shabbos, because we say that's what the Rama says, you just do basically how much you need. Weighing, hold on 1 second before we get to refuah and for things like that, but also weighing is not allowed on Shabbos. You're not allowed to weigh things on Shabbos. So for this, you can't even do approximation. If you have a scale at home and you need to weigh something, let's say your person's on a personal diet and they want to weigh their food, you find some, you know, certain diets that you have to weigh what you eat, so then you're not allowed to weigh, even if it's just an approximate amount. If it's a scale, it looks something, you don't just, you know, get the exact scale, wait till it actually, you know, does exactly. Even if it's just approximate, we say if you use a scale, that totally, that looks like, of the nechol, that's like a weekday activity, even if it's approximate. But other types of measuring, that, if it's approximate, that is okay. That's exception number one, that if it's just approximately, that is okay. And exception number two is for the purpose of a mitzvah. If it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, that is allowed to be measured on Shabbos. And the reason is because we said the whole problem is uvdan dechol, it's a weekday transgression, it's a weekday act. If it's for the mitzvah, then we don't say that that's a weekday act. That's an act, you know, for Hashem. It's for a mitzvah. So if you need to measure if something is 60 times the amount, you know, because let's say you put milk into chont or something like milk falls into chont, so you want to measure 60 if it's bata b'shishim, or 40 sa for a mikvah, or 2,000 amas for an eruv, or for a revius, for kiddush, or for, let's say for the dalek kaisis, or kazayas for matzah on Pesach, or for mur, many different ways, right? You have those sheets that everyone has, you know, by the seder, and no one is abusing it anyway, but you have it all, it's underneath the plastic. My mother used to always put it underneath the tablecloth. Everyone has a sheet by, you know, so that's measuring for a kazayas. So for a mitzvah, that is permitted. That's for the purpose of a mitzvah. You want to make sure you ate enough mur. You don't want chas v'shalom too little mur. So that, for a purpose of a mitzvah, that is permitted. Refuah, for things that are someone who is sick, so of course, staying healthy is a mitzvah. That's included in a mitzvah. So weighing is, so measuring is permitted for the purpose of a mitzvah. So therefore, taking someone's temperature on Shabbos, or Moshe Feinstein says, is permitted. Now, that doesn't mean with an electric thermometer, because that is other issues as far as electricity and, you know, letters, numbers come up on the screen. That could be other problems that would not be permitted on Shabbos. But if you have the old time thermometers with the mercury, so that you are allowed to take someone's temperature on Shabbos, if anyone still has one of those types of thermometers. They don't work anymore? Okay.
They're not mercury anymore.
They're not, whatever, I don't know, what are they?
They're
something else. Okay, so if you have some type of thing that's not anything electrical, okay, fine.
And they work.
So I'm also still behind the times. So that, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, is allowed on Shabbos, and Rav Moshe Feinstein even says that a healthy person is allowed to use it just to make sure that they're okay. It doesn't have to be you're officially sick, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, because to stay healthy is also a mitzvah. My daughter yesterday told me, I told her to put on her seatbelt. She said, yeah, it's an aveira not to put on your seatbelt because we're nishmartim. So you have to stay, it's a mitzvah to stay healthy and to prevent from becoming sick or prevent to get injured. So for sure, that is also included in the mitzvah. Moshe Feinstein says that it's permitted. So for a baby bottle, right, as you mentioned before, as far as the child is always considered a chola. So if you have a baby bottle and you have the scooper in the formula, or if on the baby bottle it says 1 ounce, 2 ounce, 3 ounces, 4 ounces, so there you want to measure to exactly 4 ounces. So therefore, the place can say that since it's for a child, and a child is always considered a chola, and a chola is a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to take care of a chola, so therefore you are allowed to go exactly on the baby bottle to the exact amount of ounces. I would tell you that, you know, and if it's just as good, if you get a little bit more than 4 ounces, or 6 ounces, whatever it is, a little bit more, a little bit less, couldn't hurt, you might as well do that. But if you're the type of mother that you're nervous that the child has to get exactly, and we said there's different opinions, how old is the child to be considered a chola, you have to know. So therefore, imagine it would be good if you could do a little bit of approximation, but again, definitely this is what to rely on if you want to use for the baby bottles to get exactly. Also for Yom Kippur, someone who's sick on Yom Kippur, and you want to measure, let's say a schnapps glass, however the Rav tells a person, someone who's nursing or pregnant or sick, they want to measure exactly how much water they're allowed to eat, so that's also for the purpose of a mitzvah, because it's someone who's sick and otherwise they wouldn't be allowed to be eating on Yom Kippur. So then, that is also permitted to do on Shabbos. Okay, next week in Mitzvah Shem, still undecided what we're going to talk about, either Makah B'Patish or maybe Schita B'Ochlim, we'll see. Hashem. And then next week is Tu B'Shvat. Maybe if I have permission, maybe the last 5-10 minutes, we'll just say something nice about Tu B'Shvat. Okay.